Let me tell you about a story about a man who bought a boat. So this guy, right, and he works hard, does well at university, and through a combination of hard work and luck and knowing the right people, he gets a very good job, like a, you know, six-figure salary kind of good job. And he kind of works hard and saves up a bunch of money because one day he wants to buy himself a boat. This is his goal, not like a little dinghy boat, not like a mega yacht either, but like a decent, I don't know, some kind of like yacht thing you can go away with. It's like, imagine like a proper caravan, but a boat. It's cool. So he saves up. This is going to be his thing for retirement, right? He's going to retire and he's going to sail around the south coast and loop around some islands and all that kind of stuff. And that's what he's going to do. And then he gets to retirement, he buys the boat. It costs far more than he thought it would because boats do, and he has to spend money doing it up. And he finally gets to take it out to the harbour. And as he's going out, he realises that there's been a problem. Something's gone wrong. I don't understand boats, but I assume this can happen. And there's an issue with something at the back, and it starts to take on water. And before he knows it, his boat is sunk at the bottom of the harbour. And the insurance doesn't cover it because this is his fault. And his all he looked forward to, all he saved up for, all he stored up is gone. In the blink of a, or a couple of blinks of an eye, on the bottom of the harbour. Jesus himself says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust and water damage destroy. There's a famous drug baron in South America called Pablo Escobar, who's I think now dead, right? But for a while he's like the richest man in the world, if we could count his money, because it was all illegal. But he used to lose millions of pounds every few weeks by rats eating the money, because he couldn't put it in a bank, so he'd have to store it in like rooms, and rats would get in and they'd just chew stuff, as rats do, and rats would chew up thousands upon notes a day. But he was like, oh, I'm a super rich drug baron, I can do what I want. But he'd be losing money to rats as they came in there, destroying it all. And again, Jesus' words, don't store up yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust and rats can break and destroy. Or I was reading about this guy in Germany who, and this happened a few years ago, he had spent a large amount of his life collecting pinball machines. You know, the ones you press the buttons at the side and the ball flies up and you get high scores. But that was his thing, collecting pinball machines. And he had a huge collection of them. 14 years he spent building up this collection. Lots of exclusive, rare, I don't understand pinball machines, but you can imagine this kind of collection with rare, you know, talked about on the internet with his friends on pinball machine forums and Facebook groups about pinball. Anyway, one night it catches fire, it all burns down, and because it's this weird kind of thing, pinball, they're not insured, and it's all gone. And his quote, I read this on, this is him writing this on this forum, was, he said, oh, it's all my life is gone. Everything, like everything I had is just gone in the puff of, you know, smoke. That was it. His entire life had been invested into this possession, and bam, taken away overnight in a fire. We're not innocent of this behavior either. We get like a new gadget. It's really exciting. We go, oh, this is really good. I've got this new, this is what I needed in my life. I need this new phone or car or whatever it is, this new gadget, this new guitar. And then we drop it and the phone smashes or the guitar breaks or someone drives into the side of the car. And instantly it's gone like that. Or we like go, what I really need is a proper good holiday. I'm not dismissing holidays at this point, but sometimes you put so much hope into this holiday. I'm tired and this will fix everything. A week away and it'll fix me. And you end up putting all your hope into this future holiday. And then something happens. Your flight gets cancelled, or you get ill beforehand and you can't travel, or something comes up and you can't go, a family emergency, or it's just a holiday in Britain, it rains the entire time, so you spend your entire holiday indoors arguing as opposed to outdoors. And what you put your hope into is just gone and taken away. Jesus says, don't store it for yourself, treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But there's not, as well as being instantly snatched away, what is more common is where we put our hope into something, and then over time, we kind of forget about it, and we realize, oh, it's not actually that good. We kind of like place it in sort of the attic, often literally, and what was something that we thought would be amazing actually doesn't give us what we hoped for. Let me give an example. Me and Al sometimes watch this TV show called Grand Designs, which is a Channel 4 TV show. In it, it follows around these people who decide to buy a big house and do it up, a grand design. And normally it's like they have really odd jobs, like she illustrates shoes and he, I don't know, tastes cheese for a job. But then they have like £300,000 and they go and buy a house and then they go to do up the house and it costs them three or four times the amount they thought originally and it drags on for ages. But at the end of it, they have their house hopefully completed and the host comes along and says, oh, you know, what do you think of your house? Is it worth it? And they go, oh, it's wonderful, it's brilliant, we love it here. And then the host turns to them and says, you know, would you do it again? And at this point, the husband, it's always the husband, kind of goes, well, I don't know. And the wife looks at him like that. There's this idea that they've invested all this time and energy into this one thing, this big house, it's going to be their forever house. And then they finish it and they're like, it's not actually given me the satisfaction I hoped for. Or like you have a car and it's a good car and it's a nice car, but over time you think, actually I could do with a slightly better car, couldn't I? And you start to justify it in your head. So you buy a new car and that car's great for a while, but then after a while you think, oh, is it this great? Is it? Maybe it's not actually that. The people who are best at this in terms of marketing are like Apple. If you buy a new Apple phone, you're like, this is great, it's the best phone, it's a new iPhone, it's wonderful, it's amazing. And then a year later, you're like, oh no, this phone's rubbish now. Well, I haven't got the new phone. The new iPhones apparently have like a radar built into them or something like that. I'm like, I don't know what that does, but I need that in my phone. My phone doesn't do that. It's rubbish. But that's how it works. They market it to you, and people say, if you just have this, you'll be happy. And then your old ones kind of disappear into the cupboard, like your dress or your shoes or your jacket that you think is wonderful just ends up in a cupboard somewhere. Or you buy a new gadget for the kitchen. I'm speaking to myself here. Or you get some new toys if you're a kid and think, this is a great toy, it's wonderful. But before long, it's just put in an attic or put to one side. And what you thought would give you happiness doesn't anymore. Don't store it for yourself, Jesus says. Treasures on earth, where moth and rust and attics just take away and don't actually give you any happiness. This is what we're thinking about today. We're thinking about, what do we do with all these possessions that we have, all the stuff that gets into our life? We're thinking a bit about how that works with money as well, although David will speak more about that next week. But just about the culture we live in is this materialistic culture where you're told you need to have more stuff. That's how marketing works. You go outside and look at the posters, they'll be saying, basically, buy this, it'll make you happy. They won't use that exact phrase, but that's the implication of it all. And how do we live as Christians in this? And how do we live with our hearts when we want to buy more stuff? Just look down for a second, and it'll hopefully appear on the screen, at verse 24. Verse 24, Jesus says this, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money." He could also say, you can't serve both God and stuff, possessions, having things. You can't serve both of them. Think about that for a minute. How do you serve money? Right, I get how I can serve a person, okay? I could serve you by bringing you a cup of tea, by washing your car, or, I don't know, mowing your lawn, or, I don't know, whatever that is. But you can serve people. That's quite an easy thing to think about, right? You know, I can serve my wife by making a cup of tea in the morning, or I can serve my kids by, I don't know, helping them build a cool train set. All that sort of stuff works. But how do you serve money? And I think you do it because money promises you, and possessions promise you, happiness and contentment and fulfillment. They say, if you have us, if you have money, if you have these things, that will make you happier. You'll be more satisfied in life. And so you work hard to get those things, to earn more money, to get that stuff, to save up, to take credit card debt, all that kind of stuff, to get these things. And they promise to give you happiness. But that promise is a lie, right? They won't give you happiness. The more money you have, the more stuff you have, inevitably, the more you need a bit more. You kind of think, oh, I've got that now, but now I could do a little bit more. If only I had an extra thing here. That's good, but really what I need is this on top. You know, the cool, like, I don't know, gadget you got for your kitchen is great, but I need the attachments that go with it. The more you have, the more actually you end up desiring. You don't ever, I don't really meet rich people that often, but you don't hear of super rich people who go, oh yeah, you know what, I don't need anything else actually. They might say that, but they're still kind of accumulating other things. You know, they think, oh, it'd be great to have a pool at our house, we could use that. And then you need like a little room next to your swimming pool. And then you need like a little extra outdoor shed to make it work. And then you need, you know what I mean, you just add on more and more stuff. And you end up serving these things and they trap you in there. And so you're saying, look, you can't serve gold and money and possessions and serve God at the same time, because both of them are promising things. God is, you know, money is promising you can get happiness and success through having more of it. Possessions promise you can get more through having them. God promises you can get through more through having him. And so these things end up competing with each other. What's the answer to this materialistic world? Well, one thing people sometimes say is you just need to get rid of stuff. Get rid of things, live a simpler life, reduce all the way down to the bare essentials. There was a program on Netflix a few years back called, there's Marie Kondo's like How to Get Rid of Stuff in Your House. I don't know actually what it was called. I should have looked that up. But her whole thing was like, get rid of stuff that doesn't spark joy. That was her catchphrase. Look at your possessions. What does spark joy? What doesn't spark joy? And get rid of it. And to an extent, to a limited point, that's fine. Get rid of stuff that doesn't spark joy. But it still actually falls into the same trap of she's saying, find possessions that spark joy and just keep them. Get rid of the ones that don't. But actually, possessions as a whole can't promise ultimate joy. It might give you temporary joy, but then you want more of it. The Christian solution isn't just to get rid of lots of stuff, but rather it's to get the right kind of stuff. Look at what Jesus says in verse 19 and 20 and 21. He says, don't store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves don't break in and steal. So he's not saying, don't store up treasure. That's not what Jesus says. He says, don't store up treasure on earth. He says quite explicitly, Jesus commands you, store up treasure. He literally says, you should go home and store up treasure, but you should store up treasure in heaven. So it's less about what you store, but it's about where you are storing those things. Don't store up treasure here on earth. Store up yourselves treasure in heaven. In one sense, we should be like hoarders, but the hoarding isn't stuff here that is bad, that moth and rust will break in and destroy or forget where the things are. Store up for yourselves, hoard for yourselves treasures in heaven. Which makes you question, what does he mean by treasures in heaven? What do I mean to store it up? I think what that is anything that has eternal, lasting value, that goes on forever, that when this world is made renewed by Jesus at the end of time, anything that goes on forever is treasure in heaven, because moth and rust doesn't destroy it, and thieves can't steal it from there. Which means things like working on our own kind of Christian life, our love for God, that stuff goes on forever. Reaching out to tell people about Jesus, that goes on forever too. That's a treasure that we'll have forever in heaven. Let me give an example of this from the Bible. In the book of Hebrews, the guy who writes Hebrews, we don't actually know who wrote it, but whoever writes it says at one point to these Christians, you joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. You joyfully accepted people coming in and taking your houses from you because you knew that in heaven you had a better possession there. You had a treasure in heaven better than your own house. So you don't mind losing your own house. You joyfully accepted it because you had a better house elsewhere. You see how their treasure is in heaven, so they don't mind about their possessions here on earth. Or an example from more recent times, there's a guy just on the turn of the 1900s, right, about then, called Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China. He's one of the founders of modern missionary movements. And he was back in Britain trying to raise money for the mission efforts over in China. And he gave a speech down in Brighton, and he gave a talk in the evening, and he did not have a collection at the end of it, because that was his practice. He'd say there's a real need, but it wouldn't pass on a collection plate. And he'd hope that, through the Holy Spirit, people would feel they needed to give and give money. Anyway, he goes home at the end of the night, goes to bed. The next morning, some guy seeks him out and says, look, I was going to fob you off with effectively 20 quid last night. But all night I've been praying to God and my conscience has been racked. So I'm going to give you instead all this money. And I think it's, in modern terms, about £10,000-£20,000 he gives him. Now, that guy died shortly afterwards, the guy who gave him money. But you think, right, he could have kept that money for himself. And you could have spent it on, I don't know, a new house, a new car, a new kitchen, or whatever else you had in the 1900s. But instead, he gave that money away, and that will have reaped an eternal harvest in the mission fields of China. People out there will be Christians because this guy gave up his money. So he will have died and met people in heaven that will be in heaven because he gave away his money. He didn't consider it something for his own. He gave it away, and he stored up for himself this treasure in heaven that when he got there, he would meet these people who had become Christians because he gave the money to them. This is what I think it means that Jesus says, store up treasure in heaven. It's about looking at what things last forever. So we pursue treasure there, and we try and hoard treasure up there. And this, in one sense, is just the Christian discipline of simplicity. We're doing a series called Fit for Life, and we're thinking about how we live as Christians, how we get ourselves fit in the Christian walk. And what this is saying, if you imagine it as a sports metaphor, if you're going for a race, you don't want to run the race carrying a bunch of stuff on your back. Okay? You don't want to run the race carrying a big rucksack. You don't want to run the race pushing a shopping trolley or whatever that is, or dragging a wagon of possessions. You want to throw off these things so you can run the race well. This Christian discipline of simplicity is saying, I want to reduce the stuff I have here, not because there's some super virtue in having nothing, but because I want to store up for myself treasures in heaven. I don't want to fix my focus on storing up stuff here. That's hindering me from running this race. I want to reduce that so I'm not distracted by it, so I'm not focused on it, so I can store up treasure in heaven. This, I think, is what's going on when Jesus talks about the eye being the lamp of the body in verse 22. So he says in verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus is picturing your eye like a lamp. What it looks at is what it takes in. And if we're looking at good things, at Jesus, at what he's done for us, all these things we can treasure with him, then we'll live a life accordingly. But if we're obsessed looking at getting more possessions, then that's what we think about and worry about and we try and store up. And we think, oh, I need to get more money and more stuff. And it hinders our walk with Jesus. So the aim is to remove things from our life, to simplify things in order that we can walk well with Jesus. Ultimately, we do all this stuff because we know that the chief treasure we have in our life is knowing God. It's having Christ and through him knowing God the Father. And that gives us all this great joy and contentment and peace. And so we try and eliminate other things in our lives in order to live a life where we know him more. Let me give an example of how this could work in practice here. Like, what would it look like if we took this seriously? It might be saying that one of our dearest possessions is our lovely, comfortable house. And it's so dear to us that we don't actually like having people around it because people make a mess, right? We've tidied and it's neat and wonderful, and we don't like having people in there. But if we say, no, I'm going to hold my possessions lightly, I'm not going to try and treasure my clean, tidy house, but I'm going to use this. It might be saying, actually, I'm going to invite more people in. I recognize right now, don't do that. That is illegal. But in the future, you're permitted to do that, right? And say, no, we will have people in. Or my beautiful garden that I don't want people to mess up. No, we will have people come around. They might drop the nice china, whatever it is. But these possessions are there so we can bless other people and gain eternal treasures. Or you might think, oh, we have two cars. We don't actually need a second car. Is there someone we can give it away to who might need a car, which might help them? Is there someone who's coming to visit this country back from missionary abroad, or just someone who's poor in the church who could need something like that, that we'll give it to them, that we can get away with one car, even though it might make our life a bit awkward? Is it the thing we love, our possession that we get back is our time? We love having time and peace to ourselves. We give up some of it to spend speaking to someone on the phone or going for a walk in the park distance. Or is it tomorrow you're allowed to go sit down in the park with them? But that kind of thing. And saying, I'll give up some of my time in order that I can help this person and bless them. And so store up eternal treasure. You can imagine if the entire church, we all, and I include myself in this totally, because I need this. I'm preaching to myself. I love to keep things to myself. So if we all get this, then we can go, actually, we could. How much more could we give to foreign missions, to go out and talk about Jesus, to give to local concerns? How much more could we spend our time helping people if we held our own possessions lightly and considered them things that we could give away for other people? How much more could we bless the local community? Just as I finish, let me set you some homework, okay? In your house, you will probably have, I imagine most of us, somewhere where you store stuff you don't really need or use. It'll be in the attic or under the stairs or in a box, I don't know, somewhere. And this is stuff that you don't even know it's there. You'll open this and go, oh, I forgot I had this. Do you know that thing I mean, right? Yeah, people are nodding because it's true. You'll have that somewhere. That is stuff that it's the opposite of a treasure possession. You know, people said on the start of the chat their guitar was the thing they'd rescue from a file, or family photographs, or they'd rescue this. These are treasured things, right? We are not talking about that. We are talking about the things you don't even know you still have. This week, get rid of that. Find someone you can give it to, put it in a box to save when the charity shops reopen, recycle it, even, I don't know, put it in the bin if that's what has to be done. Not there's a massive virtue in having less stuff. There's no like Christian virtue in having an empty house, right? That's not it. But there is something in that these things hold attachment to us. That in the back of our head, these things are like security blankets almost. We have these things and they'll take care of us. And you'll look at this stuff you didn't know you had and think, oh, but I might use that. You won't. You will not use that at some point. Or if you did, it's not an important thing, or you'd have used it already. I'm not saying at this point, get rid of stuff that you really need, right? But now, just there's an immediate bit of homework. Say, I'm going to hold this lightly because I want to put my treasure trusting in heaven. It's like an act of defiance against the materialistic world, saying, I don't need this stuff. What I need is Christ, so I'm going to get rid of some of this stuff. There are books you could throw off your bookshelf that you'll never read again. You could give to someone else. There's, I don't know, whatever there is. And again, I speak to myself here. I will have to do this. And then you can make that a habit of saying, I want to eliminate stuff in my life or not get new stuff because what I want more of is Christ. And I will use what I have to bless other people. Let me finish with these words that Jesus says. And these are things to meditate on as we get rid of stuff in this week. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust and vermin and water and the rest of it destroy, where thieves break in and steal, where we just forget about them and ignore them. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust don't destroy and where thieves don't break in and steal. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have given us rich treasure in heaven, and thank you that we can have it there securely with you. Thank you that against all this world says, we don't actually need all the stuff that we have, and Lord, help us to use it as something to gain eternal treasure. Father, teach us the virtue of living simply with great simplicity, Lord. Amen.